From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. A crucial vote is set today in the House on Speaker John Boehner's revised plan for reducing the federal deficit and raising the government's borrowing limit. Boehner is urging his GOP colleagues to support the measure, but the vote could be very close, and the deadline for raising the debt limit is looming. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney.
There's no way around this. There's no escape. Our borrowing authority is due to expire on August 2nd.
If Boehner's plan does clear the House, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid could put it to a quick vote in that chamber where it is not likely to pass. That could set the stage for a vote on Reid's competing plan or some compromise measure. Republican and Democratic leaders in the Senate are said to be talking about a way to bridge the key difference between the two proposals, whether to raise the debt limit in two steps, as Boehner wants, which would bring the issue up again next year, or one step, as Reid is proposing, which would give the government enough borrowing power to last until after next year's elections. The stalemate over the debt limit is raising anxiety on Wall Street. Sam Stovall is chief investment strategist for Standard & Poor's Equity Research.
We're seeing everything decline, primarily because during periods of uncertainty, there really is no place to hide.
NPR's Scott Horsley reports investors are also keeping a close eye on the major credit rating agencies.
The president of the Standard & Poor's credit rating agency says he doesn't really expect the government to default on its debt. But Devin Sharma warned a congressional subcommittee clearing the immediate hurdle of the debt ceiling deadline is only a first step.
The more important issue is really the long-term growth rate of the debt, as well as that's driven by the debt burden, as well as the deficit. That is the more important issue.
S&P has said in the past at least $4 trillion in deficit reduction is needed to preserve the country's AAA bond rating. None of the plans now before Congress would meet that target. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
The Senate has unanimously voted to give FBI Director Robert Mueller 2 more years in that post. NPR's Kerry Johnson reports the vote comes a day after President Obama signed into law a one-time exception to the 10-year term limit for FBI directors.
Robert Mueller has steered the FBI through uncertain times. After 9/11, he helped the Bureau resist calls by some in Congress to split into two different agencies, one that handled domestic intelligence gathering and another that handled traditional law and order crimes. Now Mueller will have 2 more years on the job at a time when the nation faces terrorist threats from overseas and within. He's also making cybercrime and public corruption big priorities. Kerry Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
In Somalia, government forces backed by African Union troops have been clashing with Islamist militants in the capital. The fighting comes after the arrival of the first shipment of UN emergency supplies for tens of thousands of people there who are desperate for food. This is NPR News. Islamist militants in the Philippines have killed 7 government troops and wounded 21 in fierce fighting. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Jakarta that the al-Qaeda-backed militants, while diminished, have shown that they can still fight effectively.
A Philippine military spokesman says that around 30 Marines were pursuing a small band of rebels when they stumbled upon an encampment of more than 50 Abu Sayyaf fighters. The Marines finally took the camp after suffering casualties in an intense firefight. It's not yet clear if Abu Sayyaf fighters were killed or wounded. The military believes the fighters may be under the command of Radulan Sahiron, Abu Sayyaf's most senior leader and the Philippines' most wanted man. In recent years, the Philippine government has killed several Abu Sayyaf leaders. The remaining militants are strapped for cash and have taken to kidnapping foreigners and ransoming them to raise funds. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Jakarta.
Continental Airlines insists it expects no ongoing flight cancellations because of what it calls crew availability problems. 2 dozen Continental flights were canceled yesterday for that reason. United Airlines bought Continental last year, but the process of merging the two carriers is taking longer than expected, in part because of contentious labor negotiations. Tom Parsons, publisher of BestFares.com, says he expects more, not less, work slowdowns at Continental in the coming weeks.
What Continental is doing, they're protesting in a very silent way, calling in sick. Next thing we're going to see is they're going to probably make mechanical issues, and that too will delay.
Parsons says if the slowdowns spread, travelers may book with other airlines until the Continental-United merger is complete. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.